any more time and give you our brother Gary Jacobson for the message tonight.
Thank you, Adam, and good evening to each and every one of you. I'm going to admit, this is the first time I've walked up here, plugged in my computer, pulled down the screen without a hitch. I am so thankful for that, but I know what's going to happen now. It's going to be an utter disaster when I try to present this, but I am thankful to be here this evening. All those that are live streaming, I welcome you, and I'm thankful and the technology that we have to be able to bring the message to you at home or to those that are in distant places. And so, speaking of distant places, this Created from the Dust is the title of the sermon that I have here. And we were fortunate to be able to go on a recent family trip to Yellowstone. This isn't going to be anything really related to that, but it got me thinking about the awesome beauty that God has created, and really had put a lot of scriptures in my heart and gave me the guidance to speak towards some things. And you just can't fathom what God has done and what he's created in all these things. You have to be there. You have to experience it. And that not only goes for nature, but it goes for our lives as well. And it was really a blessing to me to be able to administer to our sister Mary this morning, because some of the things that we're going to talk about, she's going to be giving birth to her and Jeremiah's baby this evening. And some of the things that we're going to be talking about is that creation, that God has created us and what we were created from, and just the awesomeness that's behind that. And I know that we recently did our survey, and I kind of wanted to put this together for the youth. And so we're going to have some references to pop culture maybe in here. And I'm hoping that it goes well. But the message in whole really came to me when we were on our vacation, and just being able to be in God's country and seeing all the wonderful things that he's created. And when I speak of those things, it was part of that. The wonderful things that he's created is, you know, my children as well. And what a blessed opportunity it is to be able to see other young individuals bring life into this world, to see new babies. And I remember back when my children were born and how fast time goes by, but it's a moment, it's time that we cherish with these things that God has given us in our lives, these creations of his. And I'm so thankful for that. And so we're going to get through this. And I wanted to start off by reading these few scriptures here. And in Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Before I go to Jeremiah, I just wanted to express on that and the dynamics that there are involved with creating something, and just being able to think and to fathom what it took God to do this. Well, he basically spoke it into existence. He took the dust of the ground, he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I see some of the things in the world that's created, and the time and the effort and the man hours that are put into to developing things. And it's so interesting how life and all the things that we're involved with take so much time to get to some place that really it isn't that far of ahead of where we've been and what's been created before that. We're starting to excel in that and technology and things like that. But really, when it comes down to it, the things that God can do in our lives, the things that we can see and witness, it's just amazing. And I cannot fathom that. And that's really been impressed upon my heart. And I really appreciate this. And we were learning in our Sunday school, what is our purpose? What is our purpose in life? And this is one of the scriptures that I read. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. And I think about that. And, you know, how God's work is in play even before we have existed. And he has it laid out for us. Those things that we experience in life, the nature, the beauty, those things that he's created, it's all there for us. And to be able to take in and to see his awesomeness and to see what his capabilities are and the power that he has, it's just overwhelming. And so I started looking and I wanted to go back. I kind of wanted to start from scratch, and I have a picture here. I wanted to go to the building blocks of man. And prior to this, this is an image of a DNA molecule. And recently, I'm speaking within the last 25 years, scientists have tried to break this down, and they call it the human genome. And I wanted to read, this is out of Encyclopedia Britannica. I wanted to read this little clip from there. It says, the human genome, all of the approximately 3 billion pairs of DNA that make up the entire set of chromosomes of the human organism. The human genome includes the coding regions of DNA, which encode all of our genes. It's about 20,000 and 25,000 of genes that are contained in the human organism, as well as the non-coding regions of DNA, which do not encode any genes. And says by 2003, the DNA sequence of the entire human genome was known. And I just try to tell you that, and my mind is like, I have no idea of what you just said. And I think about that and the scale of it and the ability that God has to know of this and to do this. And we're 2022 years later, after Christ died, that we're just starting to figure these things out. We're just starting to see these things. And so we have the technology and the capability and the scientists that go and they research all this. Well, this is a strand of DNA. This is considered a double helix. It's a thin molecule. And its average size is about 2 nanometers or 2 billionths of a meter in width. That is so thin that a human hair is about 40,000 times wider than this molecule. So this is just one DNA strand. And so if you were to take DNA from one of your cells, just one cell, it would be about 6 feet long if you stretched it out and you placed each strand end to end. And if you did this for all of your DNA, the resulting strand would be 67 billion miles long, the same as about 150,000 round trips around the moon. So you would go from here to around the moon 150,000 times if you took all your DNA and you stretched it out. And this is what God has created. Billions of times in all of civilization. And it's just amazing that we, his children, have the ability to be able to learn, to try to understand, to figure this out, and to prove that this is something that was created by our Father. It's not evolution. It's not science. They're trying to reverse engineer it to be able to recreate it. They can't do it. But God has done this, and he has the power to do this. And we think about those things. And he started all this from dust, from dirt. And so I went a little bit bigger. And here we have the elemental composition of the human body. And so this kind of tells you all of the minerals, the different tables on the element of what we're consisted of: 62% water, 16% protein, 16% fat. I'm probably more than that. Minerals, 6%. And all these different things are formulated to create us. This is what they broke it down to. And I find that very interesting. And I was trying to do a elemental composition structure of dirt. And I was looking it up and I didn't find anything that would be really accommodating for the slides that we're in. But there's a lot of similarities between us as humans and dirt. And I kind of thought about that and I was like, well, maybe while I was growing up, that's why I like to play in dirt so much. I was always in dirt and in mud and it was fun to be in that. But, you know, I think about these things and how God created it and what an awesomeness. And so, you know, I was going to ask one of the young men to go out and get some dirt and let's go ahead and start on this project to create a human from dirt. You know, what would it take to do that? Well, we can't do that. Those are things that only God can do. And so I found some of these things interesting. Carbon is something that we are derived from. And carbon has four bonding sites for other atoms, which makes it the key atom for organic chemistry. Carbon chains are used to build carbohydrates, fats, nucleic acids, and proteins. Breaking bonds with carbon is an energy source. So that's kind of like how our body works. And I have all these different elements here listed out. And it's just interesting to see, you know, basically when they break us down, what we're made from. And I thought about that. And, you know, there's a formula basically to us. Scientists are trying to figure that out through the genome. They almost have us completely figured out. But, you know, there's the importance of understanding the reasoning behind this, the purpose behind this, why we were created. And it was to glorify God. And I'm thankful for that because I do glorify God. You know, it really softens my heart when I think about a new life that is brought into this world and the opportunities there, that you see the joy in the hearts of family and the love that there is. And I think about this and I think, why did God create man? And it was to bring him glory and because he loves us and he wants us to have an opportunity to spend with him in heaven eternally. And so I wanted to kind of be able to reach out and to express, you know, well, in our lives, what do we do? How do we do that? How do we spend life eternally with the Father? And I'm going to go to the next slide. It's we build from the foundation up. And these are basic building blocks of what we need to do to get us where we want to go. And a lot of us don't know where we're going in life at this point. A lot of us have already been through life and know where we've been and can share that with others. But the important thing here is, you know, you see these tasks that we have. I put two for the Father, two for the Son, and one for the Word. But I have scriptures to go with these, and they're mostly going to come out of 1 John chapter 2. And I know these are very basic, and I definitely don't want to talk about the same old thing. But it's important that these fundamentals are part of our lives. This is the foundation that we build from. And one thing I've learned in my life is that if we have stick-to-itiveness and we go through life and we keep applying these concepts over and over and over again, we see the fruits of the things that we've been taught, the things that we've been experiencing, the things that God shows us. And we see ourselves grow and understand and be able to glorify him in those things that he has shown to us. One of the things that I wanted to kind of give an example of is, you know, Logan, where is he? Back there. I'm going to put him on the forefront here. and it's about stick-to-itiveness. And it's kind of comical to me because I was there. And I don't want to say you had to be there, but you kind of had to be there. But hopefully you guys understand. And so we went to the gym. What was that, Saturday? Yesterday or the day before? Friday night we went to the gym. And when we go into the gym, I don't like to run on the treadmill anymore. I like to get on the elliptical because my knees and all that, it's low impact. But I used to run on the treadmill all the time. And we started bringing Logan to the gym when he was, you could be 14 year old and go with a parent. And he would run on the treadmill with me. And, you know, I clipped a pretty good pace for my age. And I will never forget it because, you know, Logan was just learning and starting to work out and develop in his size 14 shoes, the ability to be able to run. And he would run on this treadmill. And I think he wouldn't be able to finish a mile. Our goal was to do a mile, try to do it as fast as you can, you know, just a good exercise to get you warmed up. And I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. He would run on this treadmill and his feet are so big, he would be slamming the treadmill down, just bam, 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 bam. And everybody in the gym would just start looking at him. They were like, what in the world is going on? And I thought he was going to break the treadmill and all this. And the thing is that he was just learning how to do it. You know, he had to put his body through the motions over and over and over again. And now as we go to the gym, he gives me a hard time because I won't get on the treadmill, you know, calling me an old man. And he's doing really good on the treadmill. And I think you're running, what were you saying? 7.5 minute mile is what you are running on average, right? Under 7 minutes, which is really good. Really good under 7 minutes. And so, you know, that's that stick-to-itiveness that gets you from point A to point B. You grow, you develop your skills, you get stronger. And just like this, from the building blocks, the foundation up, I'm going to read a few verses here. And this is 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. And the first thing that we need to start with is understanding that we have the Father, and if we keep his commandments, he'll help us be able to get where we want to go. It says here, my children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man have sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him, and we're perfected in him. But we have to apply this over and over and over again. That's why we have the word of God. That's why the Son of God came here and helped us be able to understand these things. And so we have to keep his commandments and we have to keep his word, and we'll be perfected in him. The Son, verse 6, I'm going to skip the verse, or we're on verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And you know, we hear parables, we are given scripture, we are given the word of God, and that helps us understand the directions we need to go and how we need to get there as we walk through life. And that helps us understand to know what Jesus did and how he did it and why he did it. And so we have the word. I'm going to jump down to verse 13. It says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcame the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcame the wicked one. And that's when we apply that word of God in our lives, we are able to overcome. We have the tools to be able to do that. And it says in 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 30, Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And, you know, these three main character, or not main characteristics, these three, the Father, the Son, and the Word, these three things, if we exercise these things, our relationship with the Father and the Son, apply the words in our life, we're going to have the ability to be able to overcome, to endure, to grow in knowledge, and to be stronger in this world in which we live. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we let that word of God work within us, it'll help us be able to understand the intent in which we do things in life, how we're going to do things. And, you know, when we do things in life, I'm the first to admit, I'll make mistakes every single day. I probably made 3 mistakes today, 4 mistakes today. That's how we go through life. You know, that's our human nature. We're prone to make mistakes over and over and over again. But if we're established with this as our foundation, we can grow, we can learn, we can develop the skills necessary to be able to overcome. And so I wanted to relate that to somebody here, Thomas Edison. And so here I have a quote of his. I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I love that. You know, and there's a lot of time and a lot of effort that went into creating the light bulb. And, you know, this is something that, you know, you look at individuals, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, all these individuals that just have this, they're considered geniuses and what they have done. And it takes them time. It takes them, there's failure involved. There's mistakes that are made. But what do they have? They have that stick-to-itiveness to be able to continue on. I'm going to read on Thomas Edison in this time. The year is 1878. And where did I get this from? I didn't put the... I need to do that. I apologize. I'm going to read an excerpt from this. It says, the year is 1878. The place is Menlo Park, New Jersey. Thomas Edison has sights set on the light bulb. He figures he and his team of 40 researchers for a light bulb can come up with a functioning incandescent light bulb in 3 or 4 months. So he's like, all right, I'm going to get 40 of my guys. We're going to figure this out. And I'm sure there you take 40, you time the amount of hours by 40 from each man that was put into this project. It was a lot of time and effort into this. They're figuring 3 to 4 months for a light bulb to where God breathed the breath of man life into dust and man was created. And I think about those things and it's just, wow, it's huge. And so on that was 1878 when he decided to do this. So on October 22nd, 1879, the team had executed approximately 1,200 experiments. Testing hundreds of materials in the process before hitting upon the winning design. It turned out that baking a piece of coiled cotton thread until it was all carbon was the winning filament. Inside a glass bulb that was almost a vacuum, it was able to stay lit for 13 and a half hours. In the end, Edison's 3 or 4 month project had taken them 14 months. 14 months to come up with that. So it's just a huge amount of man hours just to develop that light bulb. And we look at the human and how it was developed in the creation of us and how it was done. And it's just overwhelming. You can't fathom that. And I have a quote here, another quote from Thomas Edison. It says, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. I really like that one. But you think about that. 1,200 experiments to come with 40 people, 40 scientists, engineers, I'm sure there were electrical engineers, and they had were trying to figure this all out, and they created a light bulb, the first one that stayed lit for 13 and a half hours. So I'm sure that there was a lot of these folks going through this whole process that were getting beat up every day by failure, you know, over and over and over again, the repetitiveness of failing, but they didn't give up and they were successful. And so I have here an acronym for the word fail. It's your first attempt in learning. And so, you know, I wanted to give some words of encouragement to our young people that, you know, as you go through life, yes, we're going to fail. We're going to have things that we fall short of, but don't give up. If you have those building blocks, that foundation in God, you're going to always know, just as our brother Adam was talking about the prodigal son, that we can come back to God and he can give us direction. He can give us guidance. He can help us with those things and give us understanding. And that's important. It's important for our soul's welfare. And this is where we're going to get into our pop culture for our young people. I have a question here, and I want you to guess who this is. And you could just raise your hand, and we'll see. Anybody could on this one. The first one's easy. It says, this is a quote, "The greatest teacher failure is." Asher. Yoda. Okay, good. Good. I could do his voice. Should I do his voice? This is what he does to me at camp. Oh, Adam. If it was camp, I would do it. All right, but here we're maybe I will. Maybe I will. Here's the next one. All right? It's pop culture. And if I said this in the, everybody would get it, but I'm just going to say it, see if people can get this. I'm ready to face any challenges that are foolish enough to face me. Who said this? No? Oh, I got people. Andy, you need to hear it again? I'm ready to face any challenges that are foolish enough to face me. Oh, some of these young people should know this. Dwight Schrute. Okay? Right? All right. So Dwight Schrute. I actually saw there's a picture of it on Amazon. You can hang like an office picture that you can put in there for inspiration. So, all right. I was about to do it. I'm not going to do it. Maybe. Again, you know, all these things that we're learning, failure, making mistakes, remember that, you know, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. So those things that we're trying to accomplish in life, whether it's taking tests, whether it's trying to find the perfect job, you know, whether it's making right decisions on your finances, whatever the case may be, you know, just remember we have to put effort into that. And if we go back and we understand the building blocks of where our guidance is coming from and why it's coming to us, it'll help us be able to get to where we need to go. And so I'm going to transition a little bit. We're going to go, and I'm going to speak towards that because I thought this was a pretty big deal, and I could give a good example of this. We're going to talk about the brother of Jared and the monumental task he had when the language was confounded in the Tower of Babel, and the Lord was dispersing people throughout the world. And so the brother of Jared was set forth with a task, and you know, he understood that the only way for him to be able to accomplish building the boats and getting where to the promised land where God wanted them to be was with God's help. And we're going to start off in chapter 1 and read verses 43 and 44. It says, "And the Lord said, go to work and build after the manner of barges which you have hitherto built." You know, it's kind of similar to Noah's Ark. And it came to pass that the brother Jared did go to work. He was working. He was building these things. And also his brethren, and built barges after the manner which they had built according to the instruction of the Lord. And I'm going to jump down to verse 47. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared cried unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, I have performed the work which thou hast commanded me, and I have made barges according as thou hast directed me. You know, so he built these things and he called out to the Lord. And he called out to the Lord because he had a little bit of a problem, right? One, they weren't going to be able to breathe. And two, they weren't going to be able to see in the boats. And so what did God do? You know, he provided a resolution, right? He gave him what he needed to do. And so, you know, the Lord told him, put a hole in the top, put a hole in the bottom. You're going to unplug it when you need to breathe and everything's going to be okay there. And he also needed light. And so I'm trying to get my bearings here. I don't want to get ahead. And I kind of did. Because in verse 54, it says, Behold, O Lord, wilt thou suffer that we shall cross this great water in darkness? So I'm not really ahead. And, you know, in verses 59 through 65, It was pointing out what the brother of Jared was doing because he was in a difficult spot. You know, he was in a pickle, right? And he needed to be able to receive help from the Lord. And so what did he do? He poured his heart out to the Lord saying, you know, be merciful. Look upon us with pity. He approached the Lord asking for these things that he stood in need of. And the Lord provided. And it says in verse 66, And I know, O Lord, that thou hast all power and can do whatsoever thou wilt for the benefit of man. And what he did is he went up to the mountain and he molted stones, clear stones that would provide light because he knew the power of God would be able to provide light through those stones for him and his brothers and his families. And all those that were traveling across the waters. And he said to him, O Lord, with thy finger and prepare them that they may shine forth in darkness and that they shall shine forth unto us in the vessel which we have prepared that we might have light while we shall cross the sea. Behold, O Lord, thou canst do this. We know that thou art able to show forth great power which looks small unto the understanding of men. And, you know, I'm sure the brother of Jared knew the awesomeness of God, what he did with confounding the language, giving him the ability to build these boats, the technical skills to be able to do that. And the Lord proved to him, the Lord blessed him, and he touched the stones, and the veil was removed, and he was even able to see the finger of God. You know, what an awesome thing. And I think about that because there were, you know, afraid to travel across this giant body of darkness, basically, before he was thinking about what do I do to get light. And, you know, so is our life sometimes that, you know, we don't know where we're going. We're in the dark. Reach out to God. Ask him. Pour out your heart to him in all trueness and humbleness. And the Lord will provide you the light that you need to get to where you're going, to get across and through that darkness. And so, you know, God does these miracles. God performs these miracles every day. I believe a miracle is going to come into this world tonight when Mary has this child. You know, it's amazing what he does and why he does it. And I know that miracle is going to bring joy. It's going to bring responsibility. But my true hope is that that miracle that is brought into Jeremiah and Mary's life is that they see what God has given them and they glorify him for that. That's the awesomeness of what God is capable of doing in our lives if we allow him to work with us. And so those miracles come, you know, Moroni chapter 7, verse 26 through 30. I got and 30 here. That should be through 30. It says, and assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased, because that Christ hath ascended into heaven, and hath sat down at the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men. He's our advocate. And he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased. Behold, I say unto you, nay. And if you read on, you'll see and it'll explain that, you know, miracles, they come from faith. And we see these things if our faith and our hearts are established, that they're built upon those building blocks which God gives us. So it's important that we keep rehearsing that, and then we have that stick-to-itiveness, and we grow and we develop in those things. And so, you know, we understand and know, going back to the brother Jared, that the Lord blessed them. They got across the waters to the promised land. But the Lord did speak to them, to the brother of Jared, and said, you know, it will be a promised land that is fruitful for you as long as you follow after me and do not ripen in iniquity. And so, you know, that was one of the terms, one of the tasks that the Lord gave him. And that such is our life. You know, if we stick to the task, if we follow after and are established in that, the Lord will bless us. We'll see the blessings that come with that. And so, Mosiah chapter 2, 13 through 17, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. And my advice in this life that we live, go out and see them. You know, when you take yourself away, that's what I was telling my Sunday school kids today, is that when you take yourself out of the city and you go see these things that God has created, the awesomeness of it, you really appreciate the words that are given to us that much more. You have a deeper appreciation of all the beauty and splendor that the Lord has created for us to be able to be a witness of, and to see it, and to see how it, you know, I was telling the guys at the work that my batteries are fully charged again, you know, going out there and separating myself from the busyness of the world and taking in God's beauty has recharged me. It really helps me with all that the Lord gives and why he gives it. And it says, believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And he's proven that to me. I hope he proved that to you in your lives. Think about those things. Take some time and visit with him. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And don't just do them once. Do them over and over and over again, so that you can establish, you know, that foundation, and that you have something firm to stand upon. So from the beginning, this is just a little snippet of what the scientist computer put together for the human genome sequence. This is just a tiny little portion of it. And I look at this, and to me, it looks like light bright. So some of us know what light bright is. You know, when I was growing up, you know, the coolest thing on earth when I was a kid was a box, and it had a light bulb in it, and it had a black paper that you would lay in front of that light bulb, and it had all these like little dots that you would put colored pegs in, and it would light up those pegs and give you a picture after you did it. And that's what this kind of reminded me of as a child, you know, light bright. But I can't make heads or tails of this, you know, and that's where my mind goes and puts this in perspective, is it simplifies it. And a lot of things in my life, I probably, some of us have heard this through business gatherings and conventions and guest speakers. They have a term, it's called KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And, you know, a lot of things in life, I try to apply that. Keep it simple, be consistent. And a lot of those things relate to the scriptures and what God gives us. And so, yes, people do understand this and know and what the coding is and how it all works, but I look at God and what he wants me to know. Does he want me to know this? I don't think so. But does he want me to share experiences and to be able to lift people up, to help our young people have direction in their lives? Yes, very much so. I believe that wholeheartedly within my heart. And, you know, my hope is that some of these slides that I've shown, some of the humor helps you be able to understand, to grow. But most importantly, it's to go to God and learn from him and to develop what he gives you in your lives day after day. And so when you look at yourself in the mirror, you can see that, you know, you're trying, you're relating and building that relationship with God. You're open to him and he'll show you the way. And again, in Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them." You know, he created every one of us. And he helps our families grow. There's new creations every day. And just enjoy the awesome splendor that the Lord has to show you in your lives and puts forth in front of you for you to be able to experience. So that's my slides, and I thank you for your time and appreciate the ability to bring this to you. God bless.